Chapter 14. The Love Master. It was the beginning of the end of White Fang's life of hate. It took many hours of patient work from Whedon, and it took time for White Fang to forget all that experience had taught him. Love did not come in a day. White Fang was allowed to run free, but he did not choose to run away. He needed a master, and here was a good master. In return, White Fang began to protect his master and everything that belonged to him, as he had done for Grey Beaver. At night, while the sled dog slept, he walked around the cabin, wakeful and watching. He learned to tell the difference between honest men, who walked confidently and loudly to the door, and thieves, who came softly and silently. Whedon felt that humans had done wrong to White Fang, and he wanted to put that right. He spent time with him each day, gently stroking him and speaking kindly to him. White Fang always growled while he was being stroked, but this was a new growl with a different sound. To a stranger, it was frightening. But to Whedon, it was as if White Fang was singing, and the song had a sound of happiness that only Whedon could hear. In his daily life, White Fang had to learn from the beginning. Once he had beaten all his master's sled dogs to show them that he was more powerful, he knew he must leave them alone. They did not give him any trouble, and they always moved out of his way. He learned to accept Matt, who also belonged to his master. Although Matt was the one who fed him, he knew that the food came from his master. The first time Matt tried to put White Fang in a harness, he could not do it. When Whedon put the harness on him, the wolf understood that his master wanted Matt to drive him. The Klondike sleds were different from the Mackenzie sleds because the dogs ran in a line, one behind the other. The leader really was the leader. He was the wisest and strongest dog, and the team obeyed and feared him. It was, of course, only a short time until White Fang became the leader of Matt's team. Even after a long day leading the dogs, White Fang always kept to his job of protecting his master at night, waiting for him to return to the cabin after work and then keeping watch outside. Although he never learned to bark to welcome his master home, he became the most valuable of all animals. In the late spring, White Fang suffered a great trouble. Without warning, his master disappeared. White Fang did not know that packed bags meant a journey, so when his master went off with a full bag, he waited for him to come back at night as usual. At midnight, the cold wind drove him to hide behind the cabin. He dozed, waiting for the step he knew so well. By 2 a.m., he had become worried and had moved to the front of the cabin, where he crouched and waited in the freezing wind. But his master did not come. Matt came out of the cabin in the morning, but he could not tell the wolf what he wanted to know. The days came and went, and White Fang became sick for the first time in his life. He became so sick that Matt brought him into the cabin and mentioned it in a letter to Whedon. "That wolf won't work, Mr. Scott," he wrote. "Won't eat, is in low spirits. All the other dogs are beating him. He wants to know where you are, and I don't know how to tell him. By the time you return, I think you'll be dead." It was as Matt said. White Fang lay on the floor of the cabin, near the fire, taking no interest in anything. And then, one night, a low whine from White Fang, followed by a short yelp, made Matt jump. The wolf was on his feet, looking at the door. They heard a footstep. The door opened, and Whedon Scott came in. The two men shook hands, and Whedon looked around the room for the wolf. White Fang was sitting by the fire, not running forward, but watching and waiting. "Look at his tail moving," cried Matt. Whedon walked across the room to White Fang, calling his name. White Fang came to him quickly and looked up at his master, his deepest feelings shining out of his eyes like a light. Whedon crouched down, face to face with White Fang, and stroked his head, his ears, his neck, his shoulders. White Fang was growling, with his special singing growl. And that was not all. He suddenly pushed his head forward between his master's arm and body, and kept it there, silently. The two men looked at each other, and Whedon's eyes were wet. White Fang spent two more nights and a day in the cabin as his body and muscles became stronger, once more fed with food and love. Then he was ready to start living again. One night, not long after Whedon's return, the two men sat playing cards before going to bed. A sudden sound of snarling outside made them get to their feet and run to the door. "The wolf's got someone out there," said Matt. There was a wild scream, and they hurried outside, picking up a lamp by the door. A man lay on his back in the snow, his arms across his face and throat, protecting himself from White Fang's teeth. White Fang was in a rage, biting and snapping at the arms, the coat, the shirt, the trousers. Whedon quickly took White Fang by the throat and pulled him clear. With one sharp word from his master, the wolf sat quiet. Matt helped the man to his feet and then immediately pushed him away. It was a face they knew, an ugly face. It was Beauty Smith. In the lamplight, his face was a picture of cowardly fear. Two objects lay beside him in the snow, and Matt shined his light on them. A heavy club and a thick metal dog chain. Whedon saw them and, without saying a word, put his hand on Beauty's shoulder and violently turned him around. Beauty ran off into the dark.